It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, it is Dirty's Daily. Clint is out today. Adam Spillane is in. It's been rolling with us throughout the day here. And Byron, he is in as well as Tyler is out today. They'll both be back next week. And there is some news. There's been more news this week about Kyle Tucker. Updates from Joe Espada. The media being able to see Kyle Tucker on the field. They were on the road, and he didn't travel on that road trip, so didn't get a lot of really updates on Kyle Tucker or visuals of Kyle Tucker because he wasn't there. Now being back in Houston, he has been on the field, and we actually got to hear from Kyle Tucker. This is Kyle Tucker talking to the media about where he is right now.
How are you feeling?
I feel good. It's definitely coming along pretty quick now, so I still got some boxes to check before I get out there. Trying to do that as quick and fast as possible while also being smart with it. So pretty happy with how the last week and the last couple days have gone. So just going to try and build up to do as much as possible, especially every single day in terms of playing every single day. Just try and get back into baseball shape and being able to go out there, not just for one game or two games, but for the rest of the season, trying to stay healthy.
All right, so that is the latest of where Kyle Tucker is. Real quick, before we jump in on this, Spo, this was Kyle Tucker also talking about when he could potentially be back. This is him talking about his potential return.
I mean, I can't tell you what day I'm going to feel good and be good to go and get back in the game. I can't tell the future, but I'm definitely trying to get back as soon as possible. I mean, in terms of this series, I'm not going to play this series. We'll look to potentially in Cincinnati or the homestand after that. Just kind of depends on kind of all those boxes you got to check leading up until that point.
You think you can actually play in Cincinnati? Like, that's possible?
I mean, it's an option. I think that would probably be the earliest I could probably come back. But, I mean, I'm not going to leave anything off the table. But I just got to see how the next couple days go first before we kind of talk about that.
Sounds like you're really getting antsy.
All right, that is Kyle Tucker, Cincinnati.
That's Monday. That series starts Monday.
That feels aggressive.
Very.
But he said he's running at 75% also, but Monday could be. He said Cincinnati, he said the earliest, but then he said also potentially the next homestand.
Yeah, so it's a weird series with Cincinnati. They play Monday. Tuesday's an off day. Then they play Wednesday, Thursday. Then they're back here for Arizona over the weekend. I didn't think there was any way on earth that he'd be able to avoid a minor league rehab, but I think that he obviously he's hoping for that. And part of that is guys don't want to do minor league rehab assignments. They aren't really fun for players just because it becomes a little bit of a circus and you've got to do a bunch of media, you got to buy a spread. Nobody wants to do that. And also, Sugarland and Corpus Christi are both on the road next week.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to do that.
Sugarland's in Oklahoma City, Corpus Christi's in Arkansas, so like, do you want to leave the state, go play in minor league games, or do you want to go play big league games in Cincinnati? So it does feel like he's going to be able to avoid the rehab assignment.
That would be big. This actually now we're hearing from him. he had been, I think he declined to talk with the media prior to this. He had opportunities and declined to talk to the media. But, I mean, he's putting dates towards it. He's putting time frames towards it, which is a really big deal to me. And like I said, the movement that we've seen, and you saw it in person, I saw it on video, the movement we've seen matches what he's saying and seeing that he could be back soon.
Yeah, I think the fact that he talked kind of shows you that the end is
they're
near.
Comfortable there.
Yeah. We talked to him kind of informally yesterday just outside the dugout when he got done working out. And again, the fact that he was able to do more today and to stack what he did yesterday on top of what he did today, I think that he is certainly feeling like he can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that the days where he did not want to talk were days that he didn't know, and days where he was kind of feeling like this process is taking a whole lot longer than he ever expected it would take. But I think that he is certainly feeling a lot better about his situation now than he did, say, 8 days ago.
Yeah, so Kyle Tucker, as you said there, it seems like we are getting closer to the end, which,
it's been 3 months.
Yeah, August 3rd. I mean, June 3rd since the last time he played.
73 games it's been.
70. Never thought.
Half a year.
Never thought when that happened.
I'll be honest with you. I thought he broke his leg when it happened. And I thought thought he was done for the year. Now, when they go and say, when Espada that night said the x-rays were negative, it's like, okay, well then they were thinking he might be back that next weekend. And here we are 3 months later, still kind of going through this.
No, yeah, it's an interesting thing there. So that is the latest there with Kyle Tucker. He's saying at the earliest Monday, the series Monday, which, as you said, off day Tuesday, and then they play Wednesday, Thursday. So potentially the Reds, but it feels like at the very least he'll be back for the homestand after that. So hopefully that is the case there with Kyle Tucker, because he that is a game changer if he's in the lineup. Now, the wonder is, you know, how long it takes for he's Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Tucker, as I just love to repeat, missed all that time and still made the All-Star team. And you know, had 19 home runs and was right there square in the MVP race before he got injured. So the good thing is he won't be walking into the playoffs. It's not like it will extend to he may just show up right when the playoffs start. It looks like he will have some time in September to kind of get himself there.
I mean, he won't be walking into the playoffs, but he will be walking into a situation against teams that are in the mix for the playoffs. Like, you look, you know, Cincinnati's done. I mean, that team has been incredibly disappointing. They're not making the playoffs. But then you go to Arizona. Then you play Arizona that weekend. Like, Arizona right now is a playoff team, and they're fighting it out with the Dodgers for the National League West. Then you've got, you know, San Diego that's coming up, you know, pretty soon after that. So, like, they've got, you know, the A's are bad. But, you know, there's some easy games that are on the schedule. But for the most part, they will be playing teams that are, you know, right in the mix. Now, the good news for me is that if he's able to come back next weekend, that's a couple of weeks that he gets under his belt before the Seattle series. But before the Seattle series, too. Like, you want him to have, you know, a dozen games played before he has to take on that Seattle pitching staff in what could be a make-or-break series for them.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I'm sure Seattle will continue to do what Seattle's doing. But, I mean, a good month before, potentially near a month before
they gotta get there first.
Season starts.
No lock.
Okay.
One bad week.
Sure. That could be. And then we'll see how many runs the Mariners score in that week.
See how many runs the Astros score.
Yeah.
You can't count on Lucas Irsay throwing a ball away and breaking his first baseman's arm.
I bet it'll be more than the Mariners. All right. So that's the latest with Kyle Tucker here on Dirty's Daily. Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott came on out and has spoken his feelings, and I love this Dak Prescott. He is saying whatever the hell he wants to say towards Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. It doesn't matter, because Jerry's running his mouth. Jerry's out here playing the negotiation game and talking about what he has done, and I love it at this point, boy. That now it is all Dak in these playoff games that they've lost. All Dak. Here is Dak kind of in response to some of the things that Jerry has had to say, and this sounds like a man who has no fear of what to say or any consequences that could come his way.
I don't need a no.
Would you like it done before the season?
I think it says a lot if it is or if it isn't. But however, doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you.
What is this? If it is?
Just how people feel.
How do you feel about Jerry said the negotiation isn't about your merit as the Cowboys quarterback, but more about their cap situation? What do you take from that when he says, you know, it's not really about what you're doing?
Yeah, I understand that. That's the business and the nature of this game that we play. I stopped honestly listening to things that he says to the media a long time ago. So it doesn't really hold weight with me.
That early part was talking about, do you want a deal to be done before the season starts? And hell, who cares? But it does say a lot if it doesn't happen. I stopped listening to him a long time ago, what he says in the media. It really doesn't hold any weight with me. That is a man who has complete leverage in a situation and is fearless. Even with Jerry Jones, it is. And I believe Dak wants to be a Cowboy. I think he wants to finish his career in Dallas, but he is fearless. He knows he has all the leverage. I love this. Go ahead, Dak. Do your thing.
You know what's been weird about this whole situation? I have been...
Everything?
Figgy and Lopez make fun of me all the time because I was getting so annoyed at some of these quarterback contracts and how, frankly, unnecessary that they have been. And Figgy's like, well, you gotta save the relationship. You gotta keep the relationship strong. The Cowboys have not taken that approach with Dak Prescott. They have gone in the exact opposite direction, where we are going to make the relationship as toxic as humanly possible, to the point where the quarterback is basically taking shots at the owner of the team in the media. It's just, it's so bizarre.
He's responding to the shot.
But it's just, it's so bizarre how it's worked out. Like, this is a guy who's actually, like, accomplished stuff, and they won't give him the contract. And now it's kind of gone to the, like, this guy finished second in MVP voting last year. They've won 12 games the last 3 years. 12 games each season the last 3 years. And this is what it's gone to.
It's
hilarious.
It is like, he just said, whatever, Jerry. Go ahead, do it.
You're like, old man.
I don't care.
Like, I don't care about that crazy old man.
He is unmoved. He is unmoved. Like, I think he's almost in, like, he smiles. Come on, what y'all want to talk about?
I'm surprised. I'm waiting for him to say. Hey, Jerry said that? Did he say that between hearings, or did he say that, you know, before the hearing?
I told you, this is starting to feel like Jeter and George Steinbrenner. There's like a feel where like Jeter or like George is, would come out and say certain things about Jeter, and we'll get whatever. What are you gonna do? Get rid of me? What are you going to, like, that's what, like, Dak is like, okay, cool, daring you. I bet you're going to have to come off that 60. Because I'm telling you, because he knows it. He's, like, Jerry and they have not put themselves in a situation to be ready to move on from him.
Yeah.
And, like, Jerry, what is Jerry? You say he's older than Joe Biden.
He's 80. I think he turns 82 pretty soon.
And he ain't, like, what, he about to start this thing all over? Is that what he about to do?
He turns 82 in October.
He about to do that? Going to just go ahead and kick this thing over? Like, I saw.
It's been 30 years since they've done anything.
From the text line, Dak has no leverage with the Cowboys. Cooper Rush went 5-1 when he was out. You're right. Yo, Cooper Rush was so good, they went and got Trey Lance. Yeah. Come on, man. Nah, that dude has as much leverage as like, you thought Kirk Cousins had leverage. This cat has as much leverage as anybody I have ever seen. This is like, it is great. Let him win a playoff game. Oh, 65.
That guy suffered a pretty brutal, ankle injury a couple of years ago, and he's still got his money.
Still got his money.
Like, he knows. Like, all these guys know, especially the quarterbacks, they are going to get their money. It doesn't matter. They can wait. These quarterbacks are going to get paid. Kevin Durant blew out his Achilles in a finals game and got a max contract, had multiple suitors offering him a max contract weeks later. Like, the stars are going to get paid.
Now, the only thing that I think Jerry has working on his behalf is I do believe Dak really wants to be there. Like, I think that is legit. And I think there's, just like, I think, as I brought up the Jeter thing, I think Jeter really wanted to be a Yankee and wanted to stay a Yankee and just ignore the silliness. Now, I don't think Dak is just going to be walk the hell all over. Like, I do think at some point Dak will get to a space where he is just like, come on, man. Like, all right. But nah, man. Jerry can say all this stuff he wants to. That's why Dak's like, yeah. Let's see what happened at the end of the year. Let me win 11, 12 ball games. What you going to do? Go with Trey Lance? I know that dream that many of y'all said. Yeah, man. Go get Shedeur Sanders. All right. You're gonna have to package a lot of picks together and hope that somebody's up there that don't want him. Because Dak going to win enough games where your ass ain't nowhere close to getting up there to pick the quarterback.
Especially in that division.
Yep. It's going from the text line. I would not pay Dak. Bye. Okay, well, you should have made that decision a long time ago. Because you're paying his ass right now.
And you really have no other recourse.
Yeah.
You can't start over. I guess you could trade him, but you're not getting that much in return for Dak Prescott, especially at this salary level when you got to pay him. So that's tough.
I want to take this moment real quick as we continue on Dirty's Daily. I want to take this moment in saluting. And I love when guys are able to pull things off and do some things that they maybe didn't see. Use their talents and their skills to get there. I want to give Torrey Craig a round of applause. You know Torrey Craig, really deep in NBA benches. Torrey Craig. Jonathan Owens walked so Torrey Craig could run. Torrey Craig, who has pulled off Megan Thee Stallion, a Houston legend. They are locked and loaded. Torrey Craig has pulled her off. They're doing little videos of them in bed, little pillow talk. You got to love it. And I'm telling you, he's inspired clearly by Jonathan Owens, who pulled it off as well with Simone Biles by reaching for that unreachable star. And I'm telling you, I think this has to be the way you got to do it if you're a bench player. You're a bench player, and then you find that. Can you find that star? Can you find that star to fall in love with you like Torrey Craig has done? Hopefully that Torrey Craig doesn't have what David Hensley happened to his career. David Hensley, who hugged Megan Thee Stallion after she threw the first pitch. And soon as that occurred, his career went down to the
top. Yeah.
And hopefully that doesn't happen to Torrey Craig. But congratulations to Torrey Craig.
Torrey Craig career earnings. What do you got?
Okay. This is in the NBA. This is a good one. $11
million. 21.
Good for him.
Including this season, which is guaranteed.
That's just enough to be able to get some of the things that she's gonna, like, if he can Travis Kelce this thing, like, he's got, like, right now,
I mean,
Torrey, I know Travis, but in a poor man version of Travis, right now Torrey Craig's got to start a podcast. Like, if Torrey Craig started a podcast and maybe he's kind of dishing a little bit, like, or at least the anticipation that he might be dishing a little bit on Megan. Oh, that's it.
How old is Torrey Craig?
Is Torrey still in his 20s?
No.
Is he 31?
33.
God, and he pulled this off. Wow.
Turns 34 in December.
See, at 33, sometimes people think your dreams are over. Not Torrey.
Damn.
Congratulations, Torrey. Jonathan Owens and him. Jonathan popped one open, pour some champagne out. Who else? 713-572-4610. Who else is on that? Who else is on the Jonathan Owens, Torrey Craig, where they have pulled off? See, Kelce doesn't fit in that, because I think Kelce, even though his girl is a bigger star, but Kelce was a star. Like, who is?
It's a tight end, though.
I mean, he was a star. He had a dating show. Like, I mean, he was a star. He's a commercial. Is Rich Paul counting this?
He also
reached up to grab Adele.
But he also, with Kelce, that podcast did a lot for him. With his brother.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And then it really
went
got 100 million.
And then it really went up when he started dating Taylor. Yeah. That's why they got 100 million.
They got 100 million off that podcast.
He did. All right. Coming up, me and Adam just do not see eye to eye on this at all. At all. We'll discuss that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into The Drive. As Clint Sterner is out, Adam Spillane is just nuts.
I got the article right here.
Hey, Byron, I don't know if you've ever seen Hustler, or those of you out there seen Hustler. I don't know, because basically during the break, I'm trying to figure out, and you can help me out on this text line or YouTube and Twitch. Like, who else is pulling off the Tory Craig? I love the touch from the texter. It said, you'd think Megan was tired of Tories. Nice slide in there. But who else is pulling this off where you are kind of famous? Because Jonathan Owens, I mean, he's clearly on the Mount Rushmore of this of all time. But Jonathan, he's the GOAT. Jonathan Owens, who's pulled off Simone Biles, where you're kind of famous, but the lady you're dating or the person you're dating, or hell, it could be the other way around, is a lot more famous than you. Like, who else is pulling this off? And what I said is, that's got to be the thing. If I'm deep on the bench, like someone texted in Pete Davidson with Kim Kardashian, but I think Pete's big. I think Pete's big
SNL.
Enough. Yeah, I think he's big enough.
Starred in movies.
Yeah, yeah. But this fool, I said, man, J-Lo. I said, if I'm an older fellow on the end of the bench somewhere, I'm trying to get in front of Jennifer Lopez now that she's been recently freed of Ben Affleck and trying to make that happen. And this nut, here he goes. Oh, God. Have you seen the movie Hustlers? And I thought Adam was just getting kind of horny over here. And I said, have you seen the movie Hustlers? I said, oh, yeah. He's like, excellent film. Great film. He said, she was terrific in it. She should have won an Oscar.
Should have.
Stop.
I got here. Here's an.
No one watched Hustlers and thought Jennifer Lopez, this is an Oscar-worthy performance.
This is from.
Stop it. Oh, my God. Now you've got an article.
Savannah Walsh, Vanity Fair, May 20th, 2022.
He's got an
quote,
article.
One of the most headline-making Oscar snubs in recent years occurred when Jennifer Lopez failed to secure her first-ever nod for Best Supporting Actress in Hustlers. Lopez, considered a favorite for Academy recognition that season after her show-stopping turn as enterprising stripper Ramona, but came up empty-handed on nominations morning. The omission was painful for J-Lo, as seen in the first trailer for her upcoming Netflix documentary Halftime. Snubbed!
She was not.
She was snubbed.
So when you were sitting there watching this great film,
yes,
because clearly this is beyond
on a flight from Houston to Las Vegas, Southwest.
On an air, you thought you were watching. Like, you thought, boy, wow,
yes,
what a you were thinking. She might be up for something.
Absolutely. And I'm not the only one, apparently.
Champ Slice snubbed. Shut the F up.
Headline, Jennifer Lopez recalls emotional Hustlers Oscar snub in halftime trailer.
It was, listen.
We got to find the trailer for this documentary.
No, we do not. Yes, no, we don't need to find the trailer. No, you don't need to. You stop. Go watch your prisons and then watch your Russian prisons and watch. Stop. It was not. Like, I watched it. It was a late night watch for me. Just watched it, went through it. Bam.
Oscar
I never
buzz.
Thought, boy.
Oscar
wow,
buzz.
What a performance she's put in.
Well, you're the only one. You and the Academy, I guess.
More than the Academy.
The critics thought she should have gotten one.
The critic.
Yeah.
The critic.
Multiple critics.
Multiple.
I'm going to see how many articles we got.
Adam, good God almighty.
Let's see how many articles we have.
First off, I don't know. Like, he gets me every time. I didn't think you were going to.
New York Times. Why did the Oscars ignore Jennifer Lopez and Hustlers?
I thought you were going to come with.
April 15th, 2021.
With maybe made
she,
it. Made
she was
it
considered a sure thing for a Best Supporting Actress nomination. Then she wasn't. Here are four reasons the Academy voters gave her a cold shoulder.
I enjoyed. I've got four or five better performances that J-Lo has been in. Listen, she was much better in enough.
Disagree vehemently.
Oh no, enough. Vehemently. Oh my God.
Especially I don't know about enough. I'm just saying.
Have you ever seen enough?
No.
No. Well, then don't just vehemently disagree. Hustlers, you haven't seen it. I've seen Hustler and I've seen enough. She was much better. I think people can chime in with much better movies that Jennifer Lopez.
So Jennifer Lopez should be a multi-time Oscar nominated actress.
No. None of them were Oscar worthy. No, not Made in Manhattan, but she was great. I'm not a hater. She was great. I like a good rom-com. But enough, she was able to learn martial arts, and she took over her life from her ex. Yes, she was great in that. Talking about still. I didn't see Hustlers coming as Adam Spillane.
Wonderful film.
From the text line, Adam, you're on one today. First, Myers, Dubon, and now Russian prisons, and now this J-Lo thing. I don't know what the hell is going on. Speaking of this, like, I can't get past this. I really can't. And Byron has lost his mind also just trying to, I don't know if he's trying to placate or make Adam feel better, but I flat point blank asked Adam Spillane, who would you rather in playoff baseball have four at-bats, Jake Myers or Mauricio Dubon? And you said Jake Myers and wouldn't blink, wouldn't flinch. And then I went to Byron, and Byron said, well, right now I think Dubon, but when I talk to my friends, when Kyle Tucker's back, I want Jake Myers, my center fielder. Just nuts. Nuts. You're dead serious about this.
Yes. Jake Myers is a better overall hitter than Mauricio Dubon. Mauricio Dubon is a better contact hitter, but if I want some power, if I want an extra base hit, if I want someone who can hit me a homer, I'm going to Jake Myers.
So the
spot.
One thing he's better is power.
Well, that's a big part of hitting.
But you say overall. What else? Like overall power, I'll give you the nod. I'll give you the nod on power, although Mauricio did hit double-digit home runs last year, but I'll give you the nod on power. Don't blink that.
I gotta see
that. He did. He hit double digit home runs last year when he was able and given the chance to play every day. He hit double digit home runs. Like if you want to sell,
he hit 10. Okay.
Yeah, I know it. I know how many he hit. Damn it, it's double digits. All right.
Slugging percentage is
I would have said the
360
number.
Now.
I would have said the number if it was higher, but 10 is double digits. That works in my favor. Like
yes. No.
So I wondered if you've been playing beer pong all day before you came in with that take. He has more power than him, but you got to touch the ball to get power. Like, I mean, and Jake, what's Jake got, 12 homers this year?
Yes.
Maybe I've looked at it a few times, but Jake's got 12 homers this year. Like, I mean, come on. Like, there's no way, especially for this team, the person you would rather have more at bats is the better hitter overall, not just the one who hits with power. And by the way, Dubon's got some power, but the guy who's going to come up like, yeah, last year when they both played, he has just two more homers than Mauricio Dubon did last year. So calm down with your whole power push with this thing. There's no way.
They both had 10 homers last year.
Four at-bats a game. There is no way. And then we see what he does last night. Clutch. He's clutch, and when guys are on base and when he has runners in scoring position, it seems to get better. This is just a visual thing. I know you got your damn numbers that I don't care about. I know you do. I know you do. But there are sometimes numbers, and there's sometimes the eye test. And we've had multiple years with both of them. And there's no way on God's beautiful green earth that Mauricio Dubon is a worse hitter than Jake. No way.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
That ball that Dubon hit in the eighth inning, if let's say the third baseman makes a diving stop, which he could have done, ball's hit on the ground. If that play gets made, are you saying the same thing?
Yes, because Jake went 0-for-4, and then the at bat that Jake had behind him, he was chasing everything, and he does that often. Okay, what did Jake do? Jake didn't even hit the ball for a grounder for anybody to come and get it.
Who's got better numbers since the All-Star break?
I don't care what your numbers say. I don't care what is. Is it a big difference?
No.
Is it a big difference?
No.
Who plays more? They both play about the same. Who's gotten more continuous consecutive at-bats? Who is coming to the ballpark knowing that they're in the lineup every day? Jake is. Mauricio Dubon has not had consistent at-bats all season. He's playing a little bit more, but he sits out more, just like he did yesterday, to come off the bench. No, which is
the role that he is best fit for.
Sure, that's fine.
That should be his role. He's kind of the bunny rabbit. You can put him in the middle of a game, and he can go play anywhere on the field. That is the role that he is best suited for. And there have been stretches where he has gotten at bats on a daily basis. Like, you've seen it during this stretch with Kyle Tucker being out. Like, basically, Mauricio Dubon has become an everyday player since Kyle Tucker has been out, and the numbers have taken a pretty big tumble. Like, they just have. Last year, he got off to a great start when Jose Altuve was hurt. And then after he started playing every day for a good stretch, the number started to tumble again.
Like tumble down to what, 270, 280?
It was pretty bad towards the end of it. So like he is a guy who is best suited for playing at a part-time role. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, those guys are incredibly, incredibly valuable.
I'm not saying those guys aren't valuable. But that goes out the window when you got a guy who hits 220.
Who plays a gold glove caliber center field. Like, okay. He does. And people can dismiss that all you want.
I don't
but
even.
But center field is an incredibly important position defensively. And he is going to be a finalist for a gold glove.
I am scared to ask this question.
Yes.
I am scared. Do you think when you take every part of defense, everything into account, you think there is a serious gap in center field between
yes.
Coming. I don't know what's coming up next. I don't. But we're going to take a break. All right, here. That's where we are. I'm sorry, Radio 101 guys.
Listen.
I need to go. No,
one guy is going
to
be a finalist for a gold glove. And
I
the
want
other
you
one
to
isn't.
Go to break. I want you to go to break. All right? That's Adam Spolane. He's lost it. I want to come out here and apologize right now. I have allowed Adam Spolane to get to me. I got
the Byron too, by the way.
I gotta be honest.
He was asking me about the film that we were talking about earlier.
I gotta be honest with you, I was flustered. I could not grab the word consistent at one point in that exchange. And I had to just grab consecutive, but I wanted to say consistent at bats, and I just had to, but I was so flustered by this man for so many reasons. Someone texted in, you got to be kidding me, the cell is better. She was better in that. Jennifer Lopez was better in
I never saw that.
The cell. The cell. We got a couple of things in. Adam Spolane, he is passionate. I mean, he is basically saying J-Lo and Hustler got snubbed the way that Angela Bassett did in What's Love
Got
to Do With
It. Why you say that?
You did.
No.
It's snub.
I'm not going back to the 90s.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying in the year.
I'm giving you other examples of females who were snubbed by the Oscars.
Well, I'm not doing a history thing here. I'm just going by. The New York Times said that she was snubbed. Vanity Fair said she was like. This is not my opinion.
Out of sight with George Clooney, another strong one from her. She was really.
I never saw that either.
So you're not really a J-Lo fan.
I'm not a big movie person.
It's just that one.
It's on a plane.
That one got you on a plane.
Plane to Vegas.
Could you imagine him, Byron? He didn't want it to be over.
No, there's some scenes. There's some scenes where you got to kind of like cover up the laptop a little bit. Like, hope there aren't any kids next to me.
But the performance she gave, they were just going to have to take it.
Oscar caliber.
Yeah, they were just going to have to take it.
You don't even need to like listen to it. You can see just an Oscar caliber performance.
Yeah. I'm not getting you, Byron. I'm going to have to go rewatch Hustler.
Yes.
I thought it was good. Like, I'm into the cinema. I thought it was good. I didn't watch it in the thought to break down the performance.
And Byron came in before the last segment, and he's asking me about, because he's looking at the cast.
Now Byron's going to go, oh, you didn't look up the cast? Like, seriously.
Cardi B, man. Yes, I'm sold.
Yeah, Cardi B, yeah.
She's got two scenes, and they are just, it's Cardi B being Cardi
what
B.
What year did this come out?
I think it was before COVID.
Yeah, I don't know if you can have a film.
I like how you're calling it a film now, too.
With Cardi B in it.
2019.
Goes in 2019. Maybe this year. Maybe 2024 Cardi B. But I don't know if 2019 Cardi B, you have her in the film as a prevalent part of the role that you can be in it. that you could be nominated for an Oscar.
Why? What's wrong with
just I don't know if I'm taking that cat serious yet.
Tom Hanks got nominated and he was in a movie with Madonna in the 90s.
Well, Tom, listen, Tom is one of the greatest actors of our time.
And J-Lo's not?
No, she's not. She's absolutely not. That absolutely she is not. She's a
just disrespect.
And it, he said that like he was going to get no pushback. And J-Lo is not? No, she is not. What? I mean, good God, man. Yeah, I think you're just being disrespectful to J-Lo in some of her films. And that was like, I mean, it was good. I mean.
Gosh. I'm just glad I've gotten you to call it a film here for the last 5 minutes. I feel like my work here is done.
I thought it was
and
good,
I can leave.
But I didn't. Like, I can't believe you said Academy Award. That one.
Well, not just me.
Okay. And then found
I found people. Multiple articles to
you hear the New York Times.
Vanity Fair.
God.
Her own documentary.
Yeah.
You rewatch it.
You ain't gonna lie. I mean,
with Courtney, and let me know.
Yeah, I'll rewatch it. I'll rewatch it. Yeah, we'll. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she was the backup plan. That was pretty good. She was strong in that.
Jack.
Oh, that right there. She was really
as a teacher.
Money Train. Oh, trying to juggle Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. Yeah, she was strong in that. Yeah,
she did a great SNL episode too.
She did the tight pants thing with Jimmy Fallon. That was good.
And then she did one where it was like Good Morning Bronx, where she plays like a morning show anchor from the Bronx, and they get Dominican Lou out there. It's very good. Yeah, Find that one on YouTube.
For me, I think obviously Wedding Planners on her Mount Rushmore, when we look at those, but many there. All right, I did want to have this discussion with you and the people. When we look at the Texans and we look at this roster right now they put together, like they have really good pass rushers, it looks like, especially.
Feel the noise?
Feel the what?
I don't know. I'm just going through.
You're just saying movies.
Yeah,
now.
Pretty much.
You're just saying movies now.
Yeah.
All right. Reel one in. Reel it in here. All right. When you look at them, they've got great pass rushers. They've got some high-end top guys. Derek Stingley looks like a guy, if he stays healthy, that he can be that. And they've got, obviously, the quarterback. They've added the weapons. Do you when you look at them, do you feel like, yeah, not only are they a contender, but do you feel like they match up with contenders of the past? Of, like, the past several years, teams that you have felt like, all right, that's a Super Bowl contender that got to the Super Bowl. Like the Niners have done it multiple times. The Eagles got there with Jalen Hurts that one year. The Bengals have been there. The Rams, when they had Stafford and Aaron Donald. Like, do you get the sense that this group matches up with some of those other contenders? Because people are throwing out the contender thing, but do you get the sense that this team feels like they fit in that conversation?
I do. I think if you look up and down the depth chart, you can point to, I don't know, maybe more than a dozen like blue chip players that would start probably for every other team in the NFL. And I don't think there are a lot of teams that can say that. And part of that is just that when you have a quarterback that's as good as CJ Stroud, and when he's on the second year of his rookie contract, it just allows you to build out your roster a whole lot more than you ordinarily would. And so then I think you can probably speak to this with the Chiefs back, you know, in 2018, 2019. When Patrick Mahomes is still on his rookie deal, very similar, obviously the same situation to what the Texans have. How would you compare the talent that those two teams had? Because again, the Chiefs went to the AFC title game in 18. They won the Super Bowl in 19. I feel like the Texans' talent level is right on par with those Kansas City teams from those 2 years when Patrick Mahomes was still on the rookie deal.
Hmm.
You look at the receivers. Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins would play for any team in the league. Joe Mixon would probably play for, I don't know, 25 of 32 teams in the league. He'd be probably a starting running back.
Those guys are starters.
Yes. Dalton Schultz would be a starter on more than half the teams in the league. You look at the two tackles. They are starting on more than half the teams in the league. Then you, and that's just the offense. And then you go to the defense, and you've got blue chippers with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. You've got Azeez Al-Shaair is, to me, a blue chip talent. And then Derek Stingley might be one of the three best corners in the entire league if he stays healthy this season. Like, I think that just the high-level talent that this roster has is – it's right there with everybody else in the league. And I asked you this, you know, that Chiefs team in 2019, a whole lot better than I do.
The you championship. Team.
Yes. A championship team in the year before, a team that finished with the best record in the AFC or the second best. They were one or two in the AFC and they lost in the AFC championship game to New England. To me, it feels like the Texans talent level right now is right on par with what those teams had.
Yeah. Overall, it's close. The Texans' defense, I mean, anything's going to be better than that defense. But the Texans' defense should be better. Now, they had some talent. Eric Berry was kind of injured, but he was over there. But Chris Jones was young.
It's before Spags got there, too.
Bob was, anyway. The talent is, I can get that. The overall talent kind of gets in that zone. I think the big thing, Most of these teams that have been contenders have in common is the coach and quarterback. The coach and quarterback, I'd say the coach, quarterback, and then weapons on either side of the ball that can just override whatever the call is, override whatever the defense or the offense tries to do, and just make a play. And I think if you were to look at many of the teams that were Super Bowl contenders that had those type of guys, like Cooper Kupp could just go and make a play. Him and Stafford together, they had Stafford, they had Sean McVay, I think fits that. Obviously Mahomes, Andy Reid, he's had Kelsey the whole way. Or hell, he could throw a slant to Tyreek Hill and he could take it all the way. Right, Chris Jones, we saw it in the Super Bowl. Chris Jones just made plays at the end of games to ruin the 49ers' chances to kind of end that game. We saw it with the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase and A.J. Brown with the Eagles and Christian McCaffrey can just make plays. I think those three elements, I think the Texans have them. Those other teams were kind of more, we've seen more than one, maybe except for the Bengals. The Bengals just went there the second year, but after that, the next year when they're in the AFC Championship game and they almost won, you could see like a Ja'Marr Chase can just go get it. Like whenever, like he wants, he could just go up over people and make a play. And they had Joe and Zach Taylor, who I think has gotten a lot more credit as years have gone on. Pretty good coach. I think they've had that. I believe D'Amico is the one that I'm most confident in terms of the coach, the quarterback, and the guys that could go get it. CJ very confident in as well, but you want to see another year of it when they're in a place where the target's on their back like they will this year. The other part is, like, I wonder offensively, do they have, for sure, do they have, like, hey, man, shoot, Nico, man, just, man, we just need you to go up and just go make a play in double coverage. Or Steph, man, we need you. I don't know how, as I think they do, I don't know if I'm as confident in that. I do feel that way on the defensive end. I think that Danielle Hunter could just go wreck a quarter. I think he could do that. I think Stingley, if he's in there with his talent, I think he, like his ball skills, anything thrown his way is liable to be a turnover with the way he can go up and get things. So I think they do kind of match up with these teams that we've looked at as contenders.
Well, I think what makes the offense so good is that, okay, if a team schemes to take Nico Collins out of a play, there's two other guys that are going to be on the field at all times, or, you know, most, at least on big plays, that are just as good. You know, if they try and take Nico Collins out of a play, you have Tank Dell on the inside, you have Stephon Diggs out there to make a play. Hell, you have Dalton Schultz, you have Joe Mixon who can go out there and make plays. So you can't just like scheme for one guy with this offense. I think that's what makes it so potent. To me, the biggest question, I have two questions with the offense. The first is Bobby Slowick going to allow CJ Stroud to make plays, or are they going to be more focused on running the ball? Because that almost cost them that Colts game. The fact that they ran the ball more on early downs than they should have, and those runs got them absolutely nothing in that game, that almost cost them that game. So they need to be, they need to heavily tilt towards the pass, especially with CJ Stroud. So that's one thing. The other thing is the offensive line good enough?
That's the part that may be the difference for most of those teams. Like the Bengals were able to kind of get away with it a little bit, but most of those other teams had, and I think obviously Tunzel fits into this, but they had solid, strong play and multiple Pro Bowl level players on those teams, right? Like Trent Williams, the best tackle in the NFL, right? Like Creed Humphrey, those three guys in the middle for the Chiefs have been really, really good. The Eagles, hell, all of them. Lane Johnson, they had the best line, O-line, and Justin Whitworth with the Rams and some of those guys there. So, yeah, that part is kind of up in the air.
Because you've never seen them play at a high – I mean, Juice Scruggs played the end of last year. I don't think he played necessarily at a high level. I need to see him play at a high level. We've never seen Kenyon Green play at a high level in the NFL. Like, that's big for them. Like, they need those interior offensive linemen to play well, and then they need the two guys on the outside, the two tackles, Tunsil and Titus Howard, to stay healthy, which has been a challenge over the course of their careers. So that, to me, is the biggest question on the offense. Bobby Slowick, is he going to allow C.J. Stroud to make plays, or is he going to handcuff him and force him to hand the ball off to a running back, and is the offensive line good enough?
All right, coming up as we continue here on The Drive, 5 o'clock fire. We'll let you hear from Kyle Tucker. If you've missed that, Kyle Tucker has spoken to the media. We'll get you ready for game two of this four-game set between the Royals and the Houston Astros. All of that as we continue driving live right here on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.